Guys, teaching is one of the most rewarding professions out there. But let's be honest, it can also be one of the most exhausting. Between lesson planning, grading, emailing, classroom management, lesson planning, emailing, grading, the workload piles up fast. But what if I told you you could reclaim hours of your time, hours of your week back, while still being an effective teacher? Today on the Traveling Principal Show, we're diving into teacher-tested hacks that will help you work smarter, not harder. Let's dive in. Okay, you guys, my name is Joe Clausi, and I am the Traveling Principal, the host of this show. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I am excited to bring you this episode because I'm all about trying to save you some time, effort, and energy during this long haul part of the school year, which is usually in the beginning of the spring semester, right after President's Day, or President's Week for some schools anyway. And then it goes right straight into almost spring break. There's not a lot of vacation time in there. We are sort of worn out. The end is near and in sight. And so that's what we're going to try to do. Let's start with some little things that eat up way too much of our time, and let's identify what they are, right? So first and foremost, emailing. So number two, grading. Number three, communication, right? So here's how to automate and free up your day based on those three areas. So the first one is, let's use Google Forms or Microsoft Forms for quick quizzes and student check-ins. They grade themselves. It's instant time saver. I know a lot of times we want to give as much information as we possibly can to our students and then have them be assessed so we can determine comprehension, right? That also adds so much work when we're doing it in a specific way that requires our time and attention and equals all that effort. And so this is an easy way to kind of streamline that. Emailing, email templates are your best friend, you guys. You can almost have AI set up some sort of a stock response to parents, which is just something that's stored as a template in your Outlook or whatever it is that you're using, your Gmail. So instead of retyping the same thing each time, create some pre-written responses for missing work, let's say, grade updates, behavior notes, things that you can almost anticipate are going to be the norm of need for each year. Not saying that your kids are terrible, but I am saying let's be realistic. When we're talking about communication, I know that that does include emails, but it also includes phone calls. Sometimes it's including text messages. Sometimes you are a special education teacher and you're trying to organize IEPs, which I do think is one of the most daunting tasks and extremely challenging, trying to coordinate the schedules of all these people during the school day, which is already an unorthodox thing for somebody who works full-time to do. But what if you use this voice-to-text tool? Voice-to-text tools is a good way to streamline your communication. If you're commuting or on a walk, dictate your lesson reflections. It's something that I'm trying to get some teachers into the habit of doing as I try to create these podcasts and videos for people to be watching and listening to. It's along those same lines, using your time wisely. If you're in the car, you might as well be reflecting on what you have going on in your workday. Grading notes, maybe something that's on your mind, something that's about what you're trying to give out, or some good ideas for a rubric. Parent emails, excellent. If you can voice to text a response, drop it in AI to make sure that you know your grammar, et cetera, is proper, and then edit later, right? But try one of these this week and see how much time it saves. Segment two, streamlining your lesson planning. So if you feel like lesson planning takes up a lot of your time, here's how you can maybe cut it almost in half without sacrificing any quality at all. Batch planning is something that we've talked about on the show. I've done an entire episode on batch planning. Map out multiple weeks at a time. It's with this bird's eye view of what you have going on. This prevents last minute stress and helps you see the bigger picture. Ideally, if you could be around 2 weeks ahead of time, that's when I feel like you're the most stress-free and you're always planning for that third week out. Of course, you could be flexible. You start this really quickly, the 30-second elevator pitches. You're going to consider what your starters are for each day. Then you're going to consider your aim questions for each day. You're going to consider the content that you have coming up. And that could really dictate how much time you're going to be spending on specific things that you have working on in that classroom. And so batch planning, if you take a look and just write down a summary on each day and you get yourself about a week ahead, I'm not saying it's easy to sit down and get 3 weeks out, but if you get yourself about a week ahead, you can start to think about that second week a little bit easier. And eventually you can get yourself about 2 weeks ahead of a schedule at all times. But batch planning is a great way to save yourself some time. Also, reuse and adapt, man. Don't start from scratch each time. A lot of times when I look at teachers and I say to them, you know, do you have your lesson plan? And they may kind of look at me like, yeah, I have one. What that means to me is they do have something that's guiding what they're teaching, but it may not be comprehensive. And it could be the cause for the current struggle that's being observed in that classroom or the current issues that the teacher may be having. And it's all due to planning. Planning is extremely complicated if you're coming up with something brand new every single day. So reuse and adapt. Even use AI tools like GPT for brainstorming lesson ideas, exit tickets, discussion prompts. In seconds, you have these solutions. Even samples for students to do, or maybe they're correcting grammar, punctuation, and you just want something silly for them to listen to or follow along with or whatever the case may be, it can really maximize the engagement of your lesson planning. Segment three, grading more efficiently, you guys. When we are grading, it doesn't have to take over your nights and weekends. I do remember bringing piles and piles of stuff home as an English teacher, and every night I would sit there and I would go through it all. And I had these stacks all over the place and I would bring them all back. And then I ran into a teacher who didn't bring anything back and forth. And I saw it a day or two. And then on the third time I seen it, I'm like, I gotta ask, what are you doing? Here are some hacks to get you through stacks of assignments faster. Focus on feedback and not just the grade. Using rubrics or checklists to provide meaningful yet quick feedback is key here. Those rubrics will align whatever you're doing to anything that you're supposed to be doing and also make it extremely transparent for the student. The student can almost use the rubric and grade it for them if they understand how to use it. Peer and self-assessments, highly recommend that a peer assessment is done as the second draft. A self-assessment is done as a third draft. Everybody, maybe you get in it on one of those drafts, however you want to see that fit. Peer and self-assessments are highly valuable. So you aren't the only one that's going through the entire process. Remember, somebody else taking a look for grammar and punctuation on another essay is actually the learning process, right? So consider that one. Let's talk about creating a comment bank, okay? When you're grading, save frequently used grading comments in a Google Doc or a Word Doc, whatever it is you use, and just copy, paste, and personalize. Redoing every single time could drive you nuts. Especially if you have an assignment where a lot of students are repeating some similar mistakes and issues that the kids are having, you know, it could save you a lot. Segment four, let's have a little fun. So, advanced classroom management hacks. I want to just talk about a couple here because classroom transitions and routines can make or break your day. We all know that, right? And so here are some next level strategies to keep things flowing efficiently and to save you some time. Number one, gamify your classroom procedure, y'all. Turn transitions and behaviors, behavioral expectations into a game-based system where students can earn points for quick transitions, teamworks, and completing tasks without reminders. Even apps like ClassCraft can automate this process. I'm gonna call her out in the event that she is ever listening. Michelle Kong was an English teacher back in Hell's Kitchen in New York City. And she used to create something called Kong points. And she would write down on a post-it note, +5, you know, -1 missing homework assignment. And she would walk around and randomly give these out to students when they are deserved. Nobody ever really knew when it was coming. The students then started to stack their Kong points all over the classroom in designated areas to show off how well they were doing in class, which I thought was pretty cool. So gamify that classroom procedure. You never know where that's going to go. Leverage student leaders, right? Assigning advanced roles beyond traditional jobs. Have students manage digital organization, run small group check-ins maybe, oversee independent workstations to minimize your micromanagement. There are students who are natural leaders in your class, and we're constantly trying to figure out ways how to embed this alternative curriculum of leadership into our school day when we're already jamming it with so many other things. You could do it right in your classroom. You could even rotate these jobs. Tech-based task automation, such as like automate.io, it's like a bit of a integration with your Google Drive, generating like digital folders for student work. I definitely think that that's a pretty cool thing. You can also do the random name caller right on that wheel. That's always a lot of fun. Flipped classroom mini models. So flipped classroom is something that I'm not really sold on, but the mini model is starting to grow on me. So instead of spending class time on direct instruction, create small instructional videos that students watch as homework, and then you use things like Edpuzzle to track comprehension and spend more time in class coaching students individually based on those results. So it's like a condensed intervention. AI-powered behavior tracking. So I have heard of these. I have actually heard a couple of presentations from TeachFX before, but instead of manually documenting student behavioral issues, TeachFX or Live School will automate behavior tracking, instantly identifying trends without additional work, and it is pretty gnarly to see. Everything from the types of questions, the types of responses, the wait time, your pause time after you ask a question. I mean, you can niche down to whatever it is that you're looking for. And then finally, the three-minute rule. Set a strict three-minute limit for dealing with unexpected student disruptions before moving on. And this ensures minor distractions don't derail the entire lesson. And you might not think that 3 minutes is enough, but it is way more than you'll ever need. Most times these interactions, if you think about a conversation that you're having with a student, it's only like takes 30 seconds for them to flip the script, for you to flip the script, for whatever the case may be, for some sort of a situation to happen in the class. If you can keep it to a 3 minute max and then try to move on, however that may be, you're gonna minimize the disruptions and get back to the learning. Segment 5, when we're talking about parent communication without the overload of work, what I'm really talking about is maximizing the communication efforts that you have with parents without constantly having to communicate with them. Here's what I mean. Sending weekly updates instead of daily emails. So a clear, concise newsletter reduces endless back and forth communication. As a parent, I've been getting teachers who will send me these different weekly emails, and I love it. I'm reading it. I don't even have to ask. I know already. I don't want to call in and find out. I don't want to set a separate email, right? So it works. Use Remind, 101, or Class Dojo. These tools allow for quick and efficient communication without long-winded emails, and I kind of like them. You know, another way, you could text a bunch of people at the same time, set office hours for emails instead of responding all day long. Block off just 30 minutes once or twice a day to manage your communication. We have this expectation that you're supposed to check your email during the workday, right? But when? How? Are you supposed to be looking at your watch while you're talking in the middle of a class teaching a lesson? No. But that ends up being what happens, right? And so to eliminate that and reduce that and get your time back, just set these two blocks during the day and that's it. It will eventually be our email time, and you know that's when I know Mr. Claus doesn't read his email until 3 o'clock or whatever the case may be, right? Email is a one-way means of communication. If it's that important, they'll call. Remember that. So just in conclusion here, you know, teaching is really hard work, you guys, but you don't have to do it all by yourself, right? These simple hacks can save you hours each week so you can focus on what really matters, which is your students. So try out one of these strategies this week and let me know which hack works best for you. Share your tips in the comments on social media, please. If you enjoyed this show, please like and subscribe. Share this episode with another teacher that you think is overwhelmed and might benefit from what's going on here. My name is Joe Clausi. Thanks for tuning in to the Traveling Principal Show. Until next time, work smarter, not harder.